We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And good morning, everybody. Good to have you with us as we get rolling on this Wednesday edition of Sports Daily. Shane and Bruce for the next couple of hours. Make plans to attend at 869-1240 on the I Got It at Tad's Locker Room Hotline. Hope you're on your way safely to wherever your Thanksgiving Day plans take you. And Shane, before we get going, just a shout out today to all of those first responders, firemen and policemen and EMTs and all of the people out there that are going to be working tomorrow to help keep us safe and all of the things that go with it. And very much appreciated. Always had a lot of friends in that realm, and I'm thinking of those people this morning as we get going here on a Wednesday edition of Sports Daily. So have a good one out there, and many thanks for everything that you guys do to each and every one of us and what you mean to us every day here, not just on Thanksgiving anyway.
Here, here. Well said.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that hopefully most feel that way. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so it goes. Boy, we've got a lot of ground to cover today.
And we'll be missing a lot of stuff until we talk to everyone again. There's all mm-hmm. kinds of stuff going on from tomorrow until Monday. So a lot of stuff to digest literally and figuratively. What's on tap is courtesy of Side Pockets, where it's Why Not Wednesday out at the corner of Kellogg and Tyler.
Mm. Watched a lot of college hoops last night. Which was great.
I know you saw Duke then, so what do you think?
I saw Duke, and I think even though Auburn gave them a seat, Auburn can play a little bit.
Mm-hmm, they're okay.
They're not bad. They can play. Duke, when they – I think even if Duke plays well, they're going to be difficult for anyone to beat. Anyone. They've got everything that you could possibly want in a basketball team, and they did not shoot the ball well from outside last night and still were, what did it end up being, Shane, a 6-point game or something like that?
Yeah, 78, but this 72. Was
this was more like a 15-point game that ended up being a 6-point game. I mean, Duke would surge, and then Auburn would come back a little bit, and then Duke would surge some more, and I never felt like, I mean, I guess it got to 5 at one point. I don't remember exactly. I think it got as close to 5. But I never felt like Duke was in any kind of danger. And mm-hmm. they were able to kind of just push out and get a little bit more space whenever they needed to. So, in other words, they didn't play a great game by any stretch of the imagination yesterday. They did at times defensively. But they didn't shoot the ball well from deep and still managed to beat a team that I thought looked really good. Then the Arizona-Gonzaga game was great, absolutely great. Arizona owned the first half, and then if you hung around late enough, Gonzaga flipped the script in the second and really looked the part. Gonzaga went into that game ranked number 3 in the country, and for the whole first 20 minutes, I'm sitting there thinking, I don't get it. What am I missing? And then, man, they turned it on in the second half, and it was impressive. So that game in the Maui Classic Final is probably worth a tune-in.
Oh, no doubt.
Gonzaga's good.
They're talking about that maybe the best team Mark Few has had, and that is saying a lot.
That's saying something, too.
A lot. So, yeah. I mean, Spokane's not real easy to recruit to.
No.
Not all due respect to Spokane. It's not exactly a destination city. That arena is barely an arena.
Yeah, it's small.
A big gym is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Sure it is.
And besides the promise of TV and an Elite Eight every year, and those are two pretty big things, Mark Few has kind of some built-in challenges recruiting to there. But, boy, he's done it pretty well.
And they've really done it. It's been a time-honored thing. And no one has as much respect for what they've done as Greg Marshall. When Greg had turned the corner building Wichita State into a national program, a major program, he used to talk all the time about Gonzaga and Gonzaga being the example. And Gonzaga's, you go back to Danny Munson and getting to an Elite Eight then, and Dan's now at Long Beach State. But Mark Few has taken it and really polished the apple. And now you've got this, they get some national recruits. They get some of the best of the international recruits out there. There's always a ton of international players. And they play, Shane. They're fun to watch. There are so much of college basketball is get an athlete, isolate, and let him go to town. And Gonzaga has plenty of that, but they can also team you up in the half court. They can run systems on you, and they defend the hell out of it, and they can rebound. They're big, strong, and physical. They always have a few shooters and a couple of guys that can create. And then they got a lot of guys that just bang and go hard at you. And they're just a tough team. And they were fun to watch last night. I mean, Arizona was playing really at a high level. And Gonzaga just reeled them back in and flipped the script and really looked good. So that is on my viewing screen today to see that final play out. That's pretty good stuff.
Do you think Mark Few will ever go anywhere else?
Why would he?
I don't think he will.
You know, it falls into the Greg Marshall category of it's hard to buy happiness, and when you're happy, why would you change it?
Yep.
And it makes so much sense to me. And I agree. And I think Mark Few is in that group. I mean, what is it that he can't have? He's been in a national championship game as recently as 2 years ago, could have won that national championship, is a frequent flyer in the Elite Eight, Sweet 16. I mean, what more do you need if you're Gonzaga? You're a national brand playing in a mid-major, and there's that tag again, and I apologize, but you're playing in a lesser conference that you can dominate, and you can afford to play the type of schedule that they play. Nobody plays a schedule over the last 20 years like Gonzaga does in the non-conference. Go ahead and look it up. It's insane the type of schedule that they play and have played for so long. And yeah, plenty of other teams play really good schedules, but Gonzaga has done it out of necessity for the better part of 20 years.
Yep.
Scheduled hard, gone and played on the road, and done all of those things and continued to build that program. So
talked about Mark Few being happy and Greg Marshall being happy, and this is kind of a ham-handed segue, but another guy that was happy and showed it during his playing career. We didn't get to talk about this yesterday, but I want to give him his due. Adrian Beltre.
Oh, no question.
Texas Rangers third baseman who would make you laugh watching him play in a good way. Not because he was a clown, but you could tell he was having fun, especially toward the latter stages of his career when he and Elvis Andrews were on the left side of that infield, when somebody touched his head. He throw his glove at Andrews when he tried to touch his head after he hit a home run. He had this thing about people touching his head. He would pretend to catch pop-ups when Andrews had it all the way so he could try to fake out the camera guy. You know, he would – all that kind of zany stuff. But after 21 seasons and over 3,000 hits, he finally called it quits. And for a guy that played as a teenager – which is amazing to think about.
Sure.
And won 6 gold gloves, 4 all-star selections, 4 silver sluggers, 477 home runs, 1,707 RBI, career batting average of 286. Hall of Famer, right?
Oh, I think
without,
so.
To me, it's not even a question. Yeah. Some people ask still. But
I don't hesitate on Adrian Beltre.
And me either.
No, don't hesitate. One of those guys that, did he fly a little bit under the radar just because of?
He flew under the radar his whole career for whatever reason.
Yeah. Right,
I don't ever think he got his due, man. He was a beast.
Yeah, just and great at every stop. Was wonderful in Seattle. Had a good year in Boston, Texas, of course. Yeah, you know, I mean, he was always a productive player. Great teammate,
mm-hmm.
A guy that was beloved everywhere that he played. So, and was a remarkably productive guy. But you talk about a guy in our generation that quietly collected numbers. Adrian Beltre is the pretty classic example of it. Then all of a sudden you wake up one day and it's like, wait a minute, he's played 21 years?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, he's got over 3,000 hits? Wait a minute, he's got these power numbers? He was a guy, man. He was a guy.
16th all-time in hits.
Yeah.
3,166. If that's not under the radar, I don't know what would be. I mean, if you had to guess, unless you're a real big fan of the Texas Rangers, like, where is Adrian Beltre on the hits list? I doubt
you wouldn't have said top 20.
I doubt you'd come up with 16th. Yeah.
Right.
He has the most hits among foreign-born players and just passed Ichiro Suzuki for that distinction this past season with those 477 home runs. Now, he doesn't have a World Series ring for those people that are into that. He hit. He went 9-for-30 in the 2011 World Series, which Texas lost to St. Louis. So he hit 300 in the World Series. But at the time of his retirement, first among active players in hits, games, at bats, plate appearances, and second in home runs, WAR, RBI, runs, doubles, total bases. Case closed.
There are people listening to this show right now, we hope, that are saying, wow,
didn't
really
realize that. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, just a tremendous player.
And it also tip of the cap because he only averaged a little over 100 games in the past two seasons because of injuries, hamstring, calf, and put out a pretty big
But still was productive.
He was.
Was productive in the time that he played.
Put out a statement, said, you know, after a lot of thought and discussion with the family, that kind of thing, decided to step away. Still managed to hit .273 with 15 home runs last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Broke into the big leagues at age 19, got his first hit off of Chuck Finley as a member of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Played seven seasons there, went to the Mariners.
And in effect, Tony Kitaen, right?
Yes.
I mean, if you get a hit off Chuck Finley, you get a hit from Tony Kitaen. So there you go.
Of the White Snake video fame.
Oh, my God. That's one of the best stories ever.
It's the... You mean the altercation story?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Uncomfortable story,
just
don't you think?
Pounded. Well, a little bit.
Everybody
you know,
out there, Google it, because I'm not going to walk you through the.
Yeah, we're not going to
wade
into
it. Chuck Finley, Tony story. Yeah.
But I mean, it's just bizarre.
It is bizarre. That is a good.
I like bizarre. Bizarre is good for me.
You don't strike me as the kind of guy that likes bizarre, especially that kind of bizarre.
I like bizarre
because she really let him have it in that story. Anyway,
crazy.
Seattle, prior to the 2005 season. Five seasons there. Then he's with the Red Sox for a minute, and then the Rangers.
Had a good year.
For the last, 7 years? What did he do at Boston? All-star for Boston.
Yeah.
49 doubles.
Sure was.
Wow, look at you. 28 home
nice
runs
year.
For Red Sox that year. So,
yeah, I'm not really sure what happened. I don't remember, but it was pretty apparent that he was going to be a one-year player in Boston. So,
pretty productive but, 1 year.
But it was a good 1 year, no question.
You brought this up a little bit yesterday. We didn't have a chance to get to it. The Yankees make the first real powerful move in the offseason. They get James Paxton in a trade. They sent their top prospect to the Mariners. His name is Justus Sheffield. He's a left-handed pitcher. So Paxton to the Yankees for three prospects. I'm not going to pretend to know about the prospects. I'm not a prospects guy. But I assume it's a steep price because James Paxton is, when healthy, is pretty damn good. 11-6 with 28 starts and a no-hitter last year against the Blue Jays.
No question. This is the guy, and since we're talking about under-the-radar guys, and we've talked about James Paxton on this show before, he's one of those guys that, well, you know, struggles up in Seattle, although they had a really nice season, and he was one of the reasons why. But he's one of these guys that baseball fans, when you sit down and start dissecting things, you think, wait a minute, who the hell is this guy? Well, this is one of the best left-handers in the game. But he's been injury prone.
Big time.
The word in Seattle is that he's a little bit of a diva, which makes it very interesting to me that he's going to New York. Divas in New York equal caution. That's all I'll say.
Well, let me ask you
this. He's got great stuff, but I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know if that's a mix and match right there.
I wouldn't have put Sonny Gray in the diva category, but he let New York get to him.
Oh.
Big time.
New York is the one place. Now, look, I've never played at this level, so how the hell do I know? The only thing that I know is, having followed it for many, many, many years and really following it, New York's the one place that can challenge you. Boston can challenge you too. But New York, fans and media are totally unforgiving. It's not a warm and fuzzy place. And if you need sunshine blown up your backside, it's not a place to go. You better hit the ground running and you better produce, because you're going to hear about it. It's just the way it is in New York. It's a tough, tough place to play. Great when you can flip it, when you can be Derek Jeter.
Yeah, Bernie Williams.
And Mark Messier and, you know, fill in the sport. You know, Clyde Frazier and, you know, guys that, you know, made it big in New York. But, man, it's tough. And some guys just aren't made for it.
Well, so, Paxton's 41 and 26 in six seasons, but he's also made six trips to the DL in the last five years. He missed nearly 4 months with a strained left lat in 14, 3.5 months with a strained tendon in his left middle finger in 2015, 10 days with a bruised left elbow in 2016. So there's three injuries to the left side of his body, which, by the way, he's left-handed. 3.5 weeks with a strained left forearm, and a month with a strained left pec in 2017. Two different injuries in 17, and 2.5 weeks with lower back inflammation this year. So to say he's injury prone would be putting it mildly. But the Yankees, and to your point about how tough it is in New York, this isn't of his choosing. This is a trade, not a free agent signing. So it's not like, you know. Now, he said all the right things when he got traded. You know, that they he thinks he'll be a great fit. The Yankees organization is committed to winning, all that, and that's true. And you've got a guy who, if nothing else, has had a bald eagle land on his shoulder, and he barely flinched.
Yes.
And a no-hitter.
Look,
those are things we can never take away
from. I like James Paxton a ton, but all I did was, the second I heard that, I called my mom. Biggest Seattle Mariners fan that I know, and she is a baseball fan that will talk for hours about the game. Goes to spring training at the age of 80, goes and watches seven or eight games in spring training, and watches every single game that's played. She was overjoyed by this move.
Huh.
She loves the idea of Justus Sheffield, who is a very highly regarded prospect. The most highly regarded prospect in the Yankees chain. And James Paxton was, in her words, a player they couldn't depend on.
Well.
So there you go. That's at least one Mariners fan's view of that move.
Well, he was on the DL quite a bunch. So to move on from somebody like that in exchange for
three prospects.
She's a hard-ass
fan, too. So, I mean, it's not like she's not the kind of fan that bakes brownies for the players and brings them.
Nice way to describe her.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, she's
I do. I that's the kind of stock that I come from.
All right.
So.
Now, coming up next, we got a huge show for you. Coming up next, we have Lee Sterling. Normally, he's reserved for Friday, but we don't have a show Friday. plus Thanksgiving and whatnot. So Lee Sterling has five of his picks to reveal to us in the next segment. Brian Haney, 10 o'clock. Texas wow. and KU in football, with Texas having a lot to play for, and Beatty's swan song, plus KU Marquette in basketball in New York. That's where he's at. Plus, we got to get to maybe Tiger and Phil and that showdown. They've already got one side bet going. It's rivalry weekend in college football. We'll have a little haters guide to the TV you can watch when it comes to college football. Michael Gallup is in the news. Kemba Walker has gone crazy. And a Wichita kid was one of the eight Outland Trophy semifinalists. They've pared it down to three. He didn't make that, but we'll let you know who that is coming up in the second hour as well, ahead of On This Day in Sports History. So we got a lot to get to, and Lee Sterling is around the corner from ParamountSports.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.